as I was preparing today, contemplating what the Lord would have me share, my heart's really strengthened today on the path we're on. And I want to encourage you on the path that you're on. You know, we don't know the future. We don't know tomorrow. Tomorrow always brings either exciting things, good things, or boring things or bad things. That's life. This life is a can be a hard life to live sometimes. And I know the faith motto is always speak positive, always speak good. Tomorrow's great. We're going to win the world. Tomorrow's wonderful. But there's a reality of life that doesn't match that completely. Faith is not the absence of problems or battles. In my old faith world where I came from, if you had a cold, then you didn't have faith. And so all the preachers would hide their colds, you know. And if you had a bad day, it's because you didn't have faith. Or if you go through a difficulty in any area, it's because you open the door for the devil. And that's not accurate. The life, this world we're in is a fallen world. And it brings hard times sometimes, and the real answer of faith is to learn how to walk with God as an individual, because in Him you'll find all your answers and victories over everything you go through. There's a daily relationship with God that He wants. And so I want to take today and just encourage you on this path and not to win you over, because you're here without me trying to win you here. We didn't buy you. We don't offer a lot of fancy things here to entice you to come. You're here because you're looking for answers. You're trusting a path of truth, and you're hungry for more of God. And what, you know, we get to get all the hungry people, not the people who are satisfied where they're at. Religion allows you to be satisfied and loved where you are, without taking the responsibility of overcoming your life. And so for you to be here means that you've either are hungry enough for more of God that you can't find in regular churches, or you're dissatisfied with the fruit that you see in regular churches. And either you're hungry or you're honest. And so we appreciate you being here. It's an honor to walk alongside of us. Some people, I remember being in Hawaii with Norval Hayes at a meeting. It was a prosperity meeting. So it was a bunch of businessmen meeting in Hawaii, in a little island. Kaui, I think, was the island, if I'm saying that right. A little island, and we were at a resort, and I was with Brother Norval. Norval was the speaker. I was his helper. And so I got to attend the meetings, and I remember the first meeting we sat there, and the preacher got up and talked about believing for more things. And he said, "You need to believe for prosperity," and everything they said was accurate. But they said, "Look at the person next to you, and tell them what you're believing for financially." And I looked to the guy sitting to my right, and I said, "Well, I'm believing for about, you know," and it was like $1,000 for maybe for something. And I said, "I'm just believing," you know, I was 20, 25. So I said, "I'm believing for $1,000. And he smiled. And the next service, he was the guest speaker. And he was the one who helped build Disneyland and talked about how he had to envision it and plan it out. And, you know, so I'm sure that he spent $1,000 just on his shoes. Yeah. And I was out of place at that moment, but I was there. So praise God. That's kind of been my life, always out of place, but still in the middle of it for some reason, you know. But I ran into a man who was from Atlanta, and he said, yeah, I go to this church. And it was a great, big, large church. And this was a man who owned a huge company. And he said, yeah, I attend this church. I said, oh, yeah, Brother Norville's preached there before. And he said, yeah, my first service, I went into the service, and my wife and I were there. And then as the pastor was beginning to close, we had to leave. So we got up and started to walk out the church. And the pastor stopped the service and said, hey, where are you going? And hey, you walking down the aisle, stop. Where are you going? And he said, we turned around, and in front of thousands of people, he rebuked us, said, I didn't release you yet. You need to get back into your seat until I release you. So they got back into their seat, and they've been attending that church for like 20 years since then. And I thought, wow, here's a multimillionaire, a strong businessman, runs his company, and he submitted to that kind of leadership. And I realized, or the Lord taught me through that some people, when it comes to God, just like being told what to do. Just tell me how to act. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to look right, act right. How many souls do I need to win? How many people do I need to preach to? How much money I need to give? And when you build a church like that, you end up with people who don't have to develop their own relationship with God. Just tell me what to do to make God happy, and I'll do it. And then I can go about my day. And that's a kind of a shortcut to acting how you're supposed to be without becoming who you're supposed to be. And if you don't become who you're supposed to be, you're always going to be an actor pretending to be someone you're not really, all in an attempt to make God happy. But there's a better relationship available for you where you become who God wants you to be, and it comes out of your own heart, your own path. It comes out of you, and you end up growing in God. Where if you have a strong leader that just tells you what to do, and a lot of people prefer that, you don't grow. It's like, I don't care if you didn't tell me what to do. You didn't tell me I needed to pray or do that. You should have told me. But you have someone better than a preacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is very clear that he's given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, our mentor. When I hear stories of people who meet with Jesus personally every 3 times a week, they go to heaven often. They talk to angels. I always see red flags, because even Jesus, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't have a moment where you see Jesus and he shares something with you, a correction or instruction. But even that Jesus that they're meeting with is not meant to be their teacher. Your teacher is the Holy Spirit. That's who God wants to teach you. Not even the Word of God shouldn't be your teacher. And I say that carefully, because that can sound like heresy. But the Word of God is written and it's 100% true. But you know that every preacher today around the world is using the same, basically the same Word of God that I'm using. And why do we get different teachings and philosophies and ideas out of the same Word? It's because the Word of God isn't able to be misinterpreted, and you can create all kinds of ideas and religions out of the same Bible. But when you let the Holy Spirit teach you, then you can get that revelation for yourself. The power of the Word of God is a better way to say it. There's power in the truth that you can get from the Word of God, not so much power from your Bible. And if you can get that truth to come up into your life, there's power in it to transform you, to change who you actually are. A lot of churches, and one of the reasons I like this, the online format, really, if you read the scripture, you find in history that when the church started, it wasn't a bunch of church buildings. It wasn't the way church was designed, and the way church services were designed was not in a bunch of buildings. It was usually in homes, and they didn't have kids' church. And I like kids' church and nursery overall. I think it's a good thing to have. But the responsibility of raising your kids in Christ falls on the parents, not on the pastor. When I was a youth pastor at 19 and 20, and many parents come to me and say, I need you to teach my kid. I need you to help my kid. And I would often wonder, like, I spend like 2 hours a week with your kid or 3 hours a week with your kid. And you spend a lot more time with them. I can help, but I'm not the one responsible to fix your kids. But in a typical church, that can happen where we drop our kids off and then leave them with someone. If you got a big church with lots of people, usually they're very organized and structured, and you've got kind of there, you got quality people in there. But a lot of churches, it's who can we get to throw in there to take care of the kids? And the parents have a good service, and the kids are taught usually by, you know, someone, and those are okay. But really, if we look in scripture, the church was built around families, not around a church. Let me say that again, the church is built around healthy families, not around a church building, a church group, a church system. And there's more responsibility on the mom and dad when they realize if I'm the one responsible to help my kids grow in God, and I have to set the example. They have to see me do it. Kids learn not by what you tell them, but what they see. and my kids learn better from, I saw a YouTube video where it said that all kids learn better by the adults around the family more than from the parents themselves. And so be careful who you have around your family, you know. And I'm thankful for our friends that, you know, Harrison won't ask me advice, but he'll go ask Uncle John. We call him Uncle John, or Aunt Carmen. We give them, you know, our kids realized when they got to be about 13 years old, like, wait a minute, Uncle John's not really my uncle, is he? and said, well, not technically, but I'd rather you listen to Uncle John than to my earthly brother, Jim. Uncle Jim won't teach you about God. He'll teach you about other things. You know, Aunt Carmen will teach you about God, but my Aunt Tracy will teach you how to drink alcohol. You know, and so you end up having a church family. A church family is one of the costs of walking with God. That Jesus even said, I've come to bring division in that way, where your life isn't about pleasing your earth family. It's about pleasing God. And in that path of pleasing God, you find brothers and sisters on the same path and that are born again, your brothers in Christ. And Harrison and Ava, they're both born again now. And before they were born again, I was their only father. And now that they're born again, God's actually their father. I'm their brother. And but don't tell them that yet. They're not here. Hey, Ava's returning today from her trip in Costa Rica. But don't tell them that or they will override me. You know, no, Dad, I don't listen to you. I listen to my father. you're my brother. It's like, shut up. And so it may feel odd because you're limited to meeting online, but look around you, you with kids especially, look around you. Your kids are under the anointing, they're under the word of God, they're watching you receive, they're watching you be picky about who you listen to and who you allow to influence your family, and you're building in them standards that will help them in the future because they learn from others, they learn from watching you. And so I want to encourage you that this path you're on isn't just the because you have to be. There's strength being added to your family as we grow together as a body. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. We'll start in chapter 1. And I'll begin in verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we were despaired even to life. So here's Paul saying, I don't want to just show up and be the great, mighty Apostle Paul. I want to give you a glimpse into some of the battles that I've gone through. And I want you to see this terminology here, because it doesn't sound like faith when you read it. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. This is him saying, on the walk of following God's will, I came to a moment of great desperation, even to life. In other words, in the moment, I thought I was going to die. There was so much turmoil going around us, and we were burdened beyond measure. That means I'm carrying something heavier than I can carry it. I'm carrying something beyond my ability to carry it. And we were despaired even to life. And that can be scary when you hear those words like, oh, okay, I don't want to follow God that much because I don't want to get in those situations where I'm carrying something beyond my own ability and that I'm afraid that I'm going to die. But this is really a picture of faith and a picture of following God, that I want you to be aware that God has a plan for you. A calling for you wherever it is, whether it's in the financial realm, whether it's in the realm of evangelism or teaching or prophesying or ministering in any way, that there's a warfare from the enemy in everything that God has for you. And, you know, when someone says, oh, God, please, please, can I have a life without battle? Can I have a life of just easy Christianity? Happy, happy, happy every day, blessed, blessed, blessed every day. I like to have that kind of life. Then the answer is going to be, if I give you that life, then you won't fulfill your calling. And there's a part of understanding that we have to have. There's two important parts. Number one, that as a person, as a child of God, as a family, you need to always feel safe in God's presence, loved and accepted, even in your struggles, in your lack of anything. I tried to pray, I tried to fast, I couldn't do it. In your battles of struggling with the flesh, that you're loved. He's a father who loves you. He's a father who's not afraid of you, not ashamed of you. He's with you in every battle, in every struggle, in every moment, good or bad. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't look at you and say, I'm disappointed in your bad choices. You know, he's there as an encourager, as a good father to you. But also there is a calling upon you that God placed on you and on your children in their mother's womb. And to fulfill that calling means that you have to grow up and obey and follow him. And sometimes following him doesn't mean, sometimes following him means it doesn't make sense, but you still have to obey the direction God's given to you. And in those moments, there's going to be warfare and battle, a battle of the outward man fighting you and a battle of the enemy coming against you. And those are times where you're going to feel overwhelmed. I can't fix this. I'm carrying something beyond my ability. And I seen a little joke of this donkey maybe it was a miniature horse or a horse, anyway, a smaller horse that would carry tourists up the hill. And they would rent out these horses. And there was one person who got on the horse who was normal size, and off they went. And another one got on, and it was kind of a supersized person, extra large. And they got on the horse, and the horse kind of buckled under the weight. This person was so heavy. And, you know, there's things that God wants to put on you that you can't carry in your own ability. And if your idea of Christianity, which is common among most churches, is I can only carry what I can carry. I'm only going to accept things that I know I can do on my own. Then you're going to limit your walk with God to always be a carnal Christian. What can I do with who I am? But when God deals with you in your calling, it's not with who you are in the natural. It's who you're becoming in the spiritual, in the inner man. So Paul says here, I was carrying something beyond my strength. I couldn't hold it up. I couldn't find strength within myself to hold it up. So the beautiful thing about that is when you find yourself in those moments, then you'll see out of desperation, reaching out for God to say, God, I can't do this on my own. And in life, then you may look at your future and think, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how things are going to turn out. I don't have answers. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Those are beautiful times, because then you're going to reach into your Father for the answer. Because what God has for you and your calling is above your ability. It's above your pay grade. And you'll find as you walk with God, you'll have many experiences living beyond your ability because you've learned how to receive from God and walk with God and with the Holy Spirit beyond your own ability. What God's working in you when you pray in tongues is supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And it means that there's going to be many moments that you're going to find yourself in a similar terminology as Paul. I don't know how to fix this situation. I don't know how I'm going to make it without you, God. And in that, you'll find that you have everything you need in your Father to handle whatever comes your way. So we were despaired even to life. I thought I was going to die. We didn't think we were going to make it out of there. If you heard me teach about the inner man and outward man, you'll find out that where that desperation comes from. It's your outward man screaming, hey, you're taking me beyond my ability. Hey, I don't know how to fix this. I can't carry that. Whoa, slow down, Buster. We can't make it. I can't manage that. I can't find answers for that. And that's because when you follow God, he deals with your spirit man, not your outward man. And many people have learned how to walk with God through their outward man, limiting themselves in the kingdom of God for the rest of their life. Because you're going to have to come across, you're going to have to pass this line one day. If you're going to walk with God, you might as well do it today and say, I'm a spiritual person that presses into God and follows God. I might as well start today, which means there's times you don't have the wisdom to dig yourself out of a ditch, but God has the wisdom. God's amazing. Verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. And that's that terminology, sentence of death, that we've talked about before, in the sense that this isn't the death of the cross that Jesus had. This was the death of the will of the outward man, that I had the sentence of death, where I can no longer follow God through my natural ability, my natural skills, and offer God things. I had to walk with God into the impossible, because my inner man is born of God. Not to trust in ourselves, but in God. If I could draw one line to help describe the difference between carnal Christianity and spiritual people, it is this line. I cannot trust in ourselves. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is the line, I would say, this is the one singular line that helps describe this walk that you're on. You're on a walk where he's going to take you beyond yourself and beyond your capacity. And many Christians, when they hit this line, they pull the ripcord, they stop, because wait a minute, if I step on the water to walk on water, I can drown, because the only thing holding me up is Jesus. And that means I have to keep my eyes on Jesus all the time, every day. Otherwise I will drown. If you felt like that, give me a hanky. You know, and well, welcome to the walk of the Spirit, where every day you're going to feel lost or not in control, not capable, but you're trusting in what God told you. If God told you to do something, it's only because you're ready to walk it out. And when we get ready to step out of the boat, many people stop because they say, if I step out of this boat to walk on the water, then I have to look to Jesus if I'm going to survive, or otherwise I'll drown. And this is a walk where every day you got to look at Jesus. It's like, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know. I don't have the ability to walk it out. But you do in Him. And that's what God is doing in you. Every time you pray in tongues, what's powerful about praying in tongues, it's much more than just a teaching gift. It also, it's He begins to build you up and equip you to help be ready to confront the fear, the limitations, the ambitions, the agenda of the outward man. Verse 9 again. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. What a testimony. I remember asking God years ago, when I was a younger preacher. These guys would show up with all kinds of testimonies of things. And I thought, God, why don't I have any testimonies? You know, these guys always have great testimonies. Why don't I have any testimonies? He said, because you don't step out. you gotta step out for you to get a testimony. And we want to be careful that we don't want to live a life of being guided by our own ability and always being safe. And because there's times where God will draw you to go further, and it's going to feel scary, but that's where you find the testimony. And the Holy Spirit will always help you to confront the limitations of your natural man. Maybe you're shy. You don't like to share things. You don't like to witness, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go speak to this person. So, oh no, I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. But you don't know what you can do until you do it. And that walking on water moment is when you discover how God is walking with you, and you're not on your own to do it. He doesn't just leave you on your own. He walks with you. He builds you up, empowers you, and supernaturally gives you what you need to walk through every battle. And unfortunately, most Christians never experience this because they're always in control. And they know they're safe because they don't allow God into that part of their life. And if you keep praying in tongues, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will begin to prod you and pull you and draw you to go further beyond your own ability, your own limitations. We've got one friend of mine. She's a very gentle woman, very sweet and kind to everyone, and everyone loves her. I mean, everyone loves this girl, and the Lord spoke to me about her one day and said, she's in bondage to love. I thought, what does that mean? You know, like, she's such a loving person. I mean, she's loving to your face, but we'll talk about you and to your back, you know, but you don't know that. But anyways, he said, she's in bondage to that because she won't stand up for herself. She won't say no to anyone. And she's as much in bondage to that love as someone is in bondage to greed or anger or jealousy. That is what she offers the world so they will accept her. And so, in other words, everyone loves her because she's never says no to anyone, you know. And so she has a million friends, but none of them are really her friend. And she's in bondage to that brokenness. She's afraid to stand up for herself. And if she would just keep praying in the Holy Spirit, the Lord would begin to draw her to face that fear of bondage and to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And to lose some friends or people's approval. And for her, in those moments, for all of us, it feels like you're going to drown. Like if I do that and face this brokenness, I'm going to drown. It feels like I'm drowning. And that brokenness for her was people's approval. For you, it's going to be different. For you, it might be, I need a bunch of money to be safe, or I need maybe that brokenness is a sin that when you give your outward man what it wants, it stops drowning. But God, you know, like if you listen to the terminology of the preachers today, it's like God wants you to be the best version of you. Well, the best version of you is to be dead. and so there's so much of this worldly teaching of happiness and success. And I want to be careful, because as a child of God, you need to have a great appreciation and a great hold of the grace of God that says, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care about your dysfunction or your battles. I love you. I'm here with you. You don't fail me if you just make it to heaven. We all need to have that great understanding, because that should be at our core, that I can go to bed at night and be at peace with God. If I didn't do one thing for God, if I didn't pray, if I didn't fast, if I didn't give any money, I didn't share the gospel, I was totally carnal today. And I ate four pizzas and three cheesecakes and was lazy. I binge watched 10 shows on the social media or on Netflix. You should go to bed being at peace with God. It wasn't a great day. Tomorrow will be a better day. And you should always be at peace with God, because he is your father. But when it comes to your calling, to walking out your life with God, then that's different. You can let him down. You can fail. You can disappoint, because he wants to place on your shoulders things that you can't carry, because that's the only way to achieve the calling of God in your life. Well, how do we do that? That's why we emphasize so often, pray in the Holy Spirit. I feel a good pastor, that's my job, to keep steering you to that path of transformation, keep steering you to that path of prayer and worship and spending time with God, because that's where that inner man grows up, and you'll find that you are able to carry 1,000 times more through the development of your inner man than you could ever carry with your outward man. I can use a hanky for that if I'm making sense. All right, thank you. And St. Thomas is ready. Look at him. Verse 9 again. Yes, we have this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So this is saying, this isn't a one-time deal. I survived, praise God, I made it. And he says, yeah, he's going to have to deliver you again tomorrow and the next day. And from this message today, I want you to see this path is a complete reliance for you on God. And this is where being part of a typical church where we all were in the same building, a person can hide. A person can live in those church moments and leave refreshed and encouraged, but not changed, not empowered. And I'm in that. That's why I like this model, because of a church where we meet, but you still feel it's me and my family, it's me at home, and you can't hide. This is your walk with God, where you're going to have to rely on Him, because you'll need deliverance today, and then tomorrow you'll need deliverance again. And that's what real faith is, wow, I'm about to drown, but I won't drown, because Jesus is right here. I'm walking with Him. I feel like nothing is ever going to come to me. I won't have my dreams come true, and if I don't go make it happen. And you feel alone, you feel lost, you feel discouraged. Listen, if you feel discouraged, if you feel alone, you feel overwhelmed, then you're probably in the will of God. Because that's your outward man screaming. Your outward man's drowning, not being the best person it could be. It's dying. And you're saying, I want you to die. I'm not going to live my life for you. I'm living my life for God. And He sees bigger things for me than you do, outward man. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. The power of being connected is that we pray for each other. And boy, we're blessed to be connected to that St. Thomas Church, because that's a place of intercessors. What a great blessing we have. When you're going through a battle, when you're feeling discouraged, when you feel like you're not going to make it, you're going to make it. Just get up and keep going. Trust God. But in those moments, reach out to the body and say, hey, pray for me. Because prayer is a way that God brings extra strength to you from others. You know, get on the WhatsApp group and send a, you know, prayer request, or text Michelle and say, hey, can you have the team pray for me in this area? And they'll pray for you. And they don't just say a nice prayer, you know, Lord bless them in Jesus' name, sprinkle holy water on their phone and say, be blessed. No, they know how to, the intercessory group knows how to go to war on your behalf in the spirit. And praise God for that. Verse 12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. Some of these words you don't hear in the faith world. Despair, overwhelmed. But these are great faith words that in those moments of struggle, in those moments of battles and in eternal battles, like you talk to one person and they have a million thoughts going on in their head that you don't know about. And those are moments where you're going to find the greatest victories in your life, when you don't have the answers, you don't know where you're going, you don't see the future. All you can see is God. And that's what He likes, because He's saying to you, all your answers are found in God, not in the evidence that you can see it's working out. Because if you build a life of evidence, I got all this stuff stacked up, that means I'm going to get there. That's not faith. Faith is the evidence. Faith in God is your evidence that you're going to succeed. Faith in your relationship with God, faith in who God is and who you are as his child. That is, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when you say, I don't have any proof, I have nothing to offer my fear, I have nothing to offer my anxiety, I have nothing to offer these emotions to make them calm down and tell my outward man, it's going to be okay, we're going to make it. And that outward man can sometimes drown out every thought, drown out your day with thoughts and emotions and saying, I'm dying here, I'm drowning, I'm not going to make it. But when you have that relationship with God, faith is your evidence. I may not see the answer, but I see him. And as long as I keep my eyes on him, then I'm in the safest place in the world. The scripture says that God has prepared a table before you, a buffet, with all your food, with all your needs, with everything you need. There's a table laid out before you that the Father has given to you. But where is it? It's in the midst of your enemies. And it's not in a nice place. It's not out with a nice chandelier. It's you walk into the table, and there's your Father sitting on the end of the table. And you walk in, and there's all your enemies, all your fears, all your anxieties are all standing there. And God doesn't remove them. He puts the table right in the midst of them because he wants you to walk in and look at him. And it's really simple. That picture is as you walk through the line and you got one on each side as you walk in and another one on each side of every fear of failing, of disappointing, of struggle. Every fear is standing around you, every anxiety. He wants you to keep your eyes on him because the enemy knows that if he touches you, the Father, he has to deal with the Father, but you don't know that. And so your trust has to be in your relationship with your Father. And if we walk this out, I remember going through a great war of provision. And it was the worst battle of my life. It was 2 years. I know David killed the giant with one stone in an instant and cut off his head. For me, it took 2 years to kill my giant. That was a giant of unworthiness that was living in my flesh since I was a child. I didn't know it was there. It was a hidden giant. And when the Lord said, you're ready to fight it, he picked a fight where I had to trust him for my provision and not look to people or even to myself. And I thought I was a man of faith then, but man, it was the scariest 2 years of my life. And every day my outward man would scream and cry. I felt like a failure. I felt like I'm going to be the laughingstock of all the wannabe preachers out there. And I had to face that fear, not give in to it, every day for 2 years. The only thing I had for me that was good was I obeyed God every day. And I wouldn't let go of what God told me, no matter what, no matter what it cost me. And it wasn't a great act of courage. It was an act of obedience. And see, when you start today obeying God with what he tells you to do, in the little things every day, you live a life of obeying God, not living by how you feel, but by obeying God. And that may be as simple as showing up for church. When you live a life of obedience, than living a life of living a life of your own will, doing what you want, seems foreign to you. And then it's odd for you to take the reins and be in control. And so when you come to big moments of battles, when the outward man is trying to pull you to take control, hey, we can fix this. You know, just do this and do that, and that'll fix your problem. And you can't do it because God's direction says, no, I want you to go this way. Well, then to fix it feel is so foreign to you that it's easier not to step into the flesh, because you've lived a life of the living out of the spirit, man. So it's a very hard decision to change course. But on the contrary, if you live a life of serving God where you're in control, where you have the power to say no to God, you select where you obey. I'll obey over here, but I won't obey there. I won't give you access to God in areas. If you live a life of being in control, then when God asks you to live where you're not in control, that's going to be foreign to you, and that'll be a mountain that can be the most difficult to switch over. But if you start today living a life of being obedient and trying your best to hear God and follow God, not hear a man tell you how to act, but or a preacher, you listening to God on your own, developing that relationship to hear God on your own, and to follow God through decisions that may not make sense, but you make that decision because you believe you're obeying God, then that protects you when it comes to difficult, hard battles, because it's so foreign to switch over. It's so hard to switch over. I had a young man, a good young man overall, and had learned how to be a good Christian, but always kind of did his own life. And he said, you know, everyone says I'm a lot like you when you were younger. And I said, well, you are a lot like me, except for one area. I said, I always obey God. You don't. And really that commitment in your heart to say, God, I give you my life. I only want in life what you give me. I only want to have the people in my life that you give me. I only want the finances, the friends, the career, only what you give to me. Then that is the path of walking with God. And then when you come to difficult battles, see, when I was going through that 2-year process with, I didn't know it was a giant of unworthiness that was in me. And I shared this story, but I remember coming up to my big moment and I said, God, I give up. I'm going to quit trying to fix it, quit trying to make everything happen. You told me to trust you. I don't want to be one of those preachers that are always begging for money, always trying to make it month to month. I said, I'm going to trust you. If I fail, I fail miserably. And we had 2 weeks to come up with. We had no money. We had 2 weeks. Our mortgage was due and all our bills were due. And I said, I give up. And then I heard God say, good. Now you should fast and doubly pray these next 2 weeks. And I thought, oh yeah, good idea. Yeah. And then I heard the same voice say, oh, that wasn't me. That was your flesh. I would never ask you to take this step if you weren't ready. Already ready now. And see, the flesh, if it can't steer you, will try to get into what God's doing in you to be able to maneuver you into works. And see, I had this giant of unworthiness that always made me feel that I wasn't ready, that I had to give God something for him to love me. I had to offer God something for him to accept me. And it was a lie. It was a lie of this unworthiness. And it was controlling me my whole life. It made me a great Christian. I was like that girl that everyone loved in different areas, where I was always there to help, to serve, to participate, to be involved. But as I began to mature the inner man, I was ready to kill that giant of unworthiness. And the Lord picked a fight for me to fight it and to expose it. And boy, I wouldn't wish those 2 years on anyone. I was miserable. I was overwhelmed. I had no answers. I had no way of fixing it. But I could not make myself disengage from the instruction God gave me. And the outer man begged and tried to all kinds of ways to, you know, just let someone know, just send out a letter, just, you know, say yes. These preachers are asking you to preach, say yes. And I couldn't disengage from the will of God, because that's how I'd lived for so long. It wasn't because I felt peaceful and happy, and I was learning how to, God was proving to me that he could provide for me outside of what who I was in the natural and what I did for him. And that's the one area for me, but you have areas that he's going to do the similar thing with, where he's going to say, now it's time for you to face a giant. And I remember after I got through that, I thought, oh, praise God. Woo, a great victory. Yes. And, okay, now I get a vacation for, you know, a few years. No, all of a sudden the Lord said, okay, here's another one. It's a life of learning to trust him, where your eyes always have to be on him. And I'm not giving anyone instructions here. I'm just saying, as you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, don't be surprised when you come into these battles. And when you come into those battles where you feel overwhelmed, when you feel desperate, you feel lost, you feel alone, it's because you're facing a fear. You're facing battles to overcome. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to walk on water. And isn't that what the gospel wants us to do in this world? We got too many preachers talking about Jesus, but not enough of us walking on water. God's going to have you walk on water in your life. And your answer is going to be in him. And I see so many believers staying in the boat, trying to please God, walk with God while they're in the boat. Because if they go to that edge when he says, come, walk on water. But because they live their whole life being in control, being safe, and they've lived a life where they get to choose how they serve God when they make decisions. I'm not ready yet. I'm going to stop. I'll do it when I'm ready, God. Well, if he tells you you're ready, it means you're ready. Well, I don't feel ready. Yeah, but he told you you're ready. See, and that means that he sees in you the ability to go now. You may not sense it, you may not feel it, but you have to trust his voice above all things. Sometimes stepping out is the most difficult things for some people. Other times it's holding back. And staying put is a giant. You know, it's not all the same. It's so unique for all of us. That's why our trust cannot be in a man or in a church. It has to be in your relationship with the Holy Spirit and your relationship with your Father. The most important discovery you can make is that you're loved. God's grace is on you. He's proud of you where you're at. He's pleased with you. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you in your worst failures. He's right there with you to pick you up and to keep you moving forward. That's probably the most important message a believer can have, that I have a Father who loves me and is with me and not abandoning me because I'm not perfect. But then once you get that as a child, then there should be a hunger rise up in you, like, you know what? I want to participate in the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want, our life is actually supposed to belong to Him so much that your only purpose on this world is to be involved in the kingdom of God. So that's the part where we go further into our walk with Him. How am I involved with the kingdom of God? He gets to pick it, not you. And so if you're living a life where you're in charge, my best advice is have a sit down with God and say, you know what? I may be smart, I may be capable, but I'm not capable enough to carry things that are above what I can do. We had a preacher saying, you know, we just need to choose to follow God. And this isn't a path of just choosing. The word says that I believe it. That settles it. That's not enough. The word says it. Now I have to become it. I have to become the man. You have to become the woman that does what God wants for you to do. That's the path of the walk of the Spirit. So I want to encourage you today. Number one, I believe I'm so impressed. If I had the time, I could write letters to each of you about how much I see God working in you and how much you are impacting other people around you. In little ways and big ways, you are being a blessing to other people. And if you're in a moment of that discouragement, that battle, that struggle, be encouraged. This is not unique to you. It's sometimes when you're going through a battle, it's not because you failed, it's because you're succeeding. And in those battles, we look to Jesus, we keep our eyes on Jesus. And then tomorrow, guess what? We do it again. This is a life of looking to Jesus every day so we can walk on water and see His kingdom come forward. You're not insignificant. You are as much a part of the body of Christ as anyone else. And as we grow together and mature together, we're going to keep changing the kingdom. Keep changing this world with the kingdom of God in us and through us. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for being here. I love each of you. I'm proud of each of you. And let's keep pressing in. I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing upon your home. Father, I thank you for each one that's here, even the children that are here, each family that's here, that you have your hand upon them. There's a call on their life, and you're bringing it forward step by step where their trust is in you, Father. And they can hear your voice. They've heard your voice this far. It's not going to change. You're not going to leave them in the middle of their fight. You're right there with them. Father, I speak your anointing on them, your grace upon them. They're strong and not weak. They're overcomers. They're yielded to you. Father, touch them now with that grace. For those who are going through the battle, touch them now with your grace, your strength, your faith, that they can see the evidence of faith in you. And that's all they need to know. They're going to make it. Father, bless their homes with finances, with health, with unity, with love. Thank you, Lord, that we're setting an example for our kids, that they'll only learn how to walk with you one way and fall in love with you, that you'll be able to continue on this walk of the Spirit in their life beyond our life. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the St. Thomas Church, that they are going to see more people come into the building. More people are going to come in who are hungry for you. Lord, thank you for all the things you're doing in us each and every day. We're never afraid because you are our answer. In Jesus' name, amen.